But not the end we could mourn. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens
morning. Good looking crew here this morning. We want to thank you for joining us at 10 o'clock for Sunday school as we get started. I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. We're going to do our third and final part of Hebrews 11, speaking about faith and the importance of faith and all those things. If you got any questions, I'm going to try to slow down today a little bit and give you an opportunity to ask them. I kind of got ramped up a little bit last week and wasn't able to do that, but we're going to start in verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 24 is where we'll be starting at, and we're going to finish reading that chapter, which would be on down to 40, but we're going to go ahead and go that way this morning. Z read some of it, but I didn't get to cover it last week, so we're going to begin starting with Moses. But this being what they call the Hall of Faith, what we've talked about the last couple weeks, if you've not been able to join us, is just simply, it's impossible to please God without faith. So what we're going to talk about is going to continue down the road of faith, the importance of faith. And to be honest with you, I think in a lot of ways, the recognition that you've got more faith than you probably even realize you have, if you want to know the truth. So we're going to kind of go down that path a little bit today, being the Lord's will, try to bring things out in Scripture. We realize that the things that we can receive through faith, Brother Joe, everybody that's sitting here this morning has a measure of faith or you wouldn't be here. Anybody that's ever been saved and give their life to the Lord, you've done it through faith. Anybody here ever been blessed? Anybody here ever been touched from the Lord and received a healing? Guess what? That was through faith. Amen? If you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's same thing, through faith. It's all through faith. If you ever been delivered? You ever seen God move when it seemed like there was no way that it could come out on your behalf? It was faith. Faith moves God, okay? Faith is something that's very important. The angels don't have no faith. They don't have to have faith, amen? But the Bible says, Jesus said, More blessed are those who have not seen tarry, yet believe. And so if you fall in that category, how do you do it? Through? Through faith. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to finish up with this, starting with verse 24. Can I get, you care to read, Brother Joe? Just finish up the chapter, brother. Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. So as we go down this path today, we're going to begin to move how faith can help us move into great things, but also how faith is going to be required to get through some tough things too. Okay? How many people know that it's not all, well, as they say, a bed of roses all the time? Amen? So as Brother Joe finished up reading, as we get toward the end, there's a lot of people, Brother Terry, that gave a lot for their faith. And there are people still today that are doing that. There are people who are being martyred throughout this world to this day, right now, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. There are people that live in countries where it's not legal, if you will, to be a Christian, to worship openly, to even own a Bible. And those people to this day are having to do it through faith, secretly. Okay? So this situation, as Joe read it, isn't just for people of years ago. This stuff, Cheryl, is still happening today. But as we start, we'll go with Moses. Now, let me ask you a question. How many people believe that we live in a society today that it's getting harder and harder to make ends meet? Raise your hand. Right? Okay. Absolutely. Getting harder and harder to make ends meet. But also, we live in a society today. But also, we live in a society today. It's getting harder and harder to make ends meet, but also one that people would desire to be able to have certain things that's not always easy to have. Whose car, Liz? Yeah. But anyway, it's not always a bed of roses, as we know. But how many of you know that that it's easy, if you ain't careful, it's easy to get caught up, and I mean caught up, in the things of the world and get your eyes off the things of God? How do I know? I see it every summer. What do you mean, brother? Look at your church attendance every summer. Now, I'm not saying, you know, when you're gone on vacation or something like that, that's normal. You're out of town. If you're taking trips, you're out of town. But just hanging out and not coming because it's the fourth Sunday of July, because I wanted to hang out late by the campfire or had a barbecue with the family or whatever, you know, you can say what you want. Say what you want. But we all are guilty of those things, okay? And, ready for this? How many people here have known people, okay, when they come into a better financial situation, that they're tempted to allow that to drift them farther and farther away from their walk with God? Amen. It can happen. So the devil can use those things. So when the reason I bring that up is this. When we talk about Moses and the faith of Moses, we have to first start right there. It's easy to grab Moses from, you know, when he's walking with the children of Israel, the whole thing of let my people go and the miracles that God's doing and the Red Sea. But he first, Terry, in that 40-year period, had to get to the point, or before that 40-year period, he had to get to the point that, as the Bible said, he would rather be with the people of God than to have it good in Pharaoh's kingdom. That was a big choice to make. He was leaving not just wealth, he was leaving royalty for rags. Amen? That was what he was doing. Sound familiar? Sounds like Jesus left royalty for rags, did he not? So, in other words, for Moses, what did Moses choose? Faith chooses the things of God over the favor of the world sometimes. So, in other words, faith says, you know what? This might not be a popular choice, Pat, but this is what the Word of God says, and I'm going to have to stand right here. Even if it's popular, even if it costs me in some people's eyes, even if it costs me the promotion, faith says, you know what? I'm going to stand on God's Word. I'm not going to go there. You're not going to see me drinking alcohol with a boss just to get on his good side because I'm a Christian. Faith chooses the things of God over the things of the world. And it's not always easy in this world. Meaning the temptation, the devil is going to try to come in there. He's going to try to, well, your family could do this, Ray, or this could really help you in that, or whatever. Or, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to know. I like the old term some of the older Christians used to call him. They call the devil old slewfoot. You ever heard that? Old slewfoot. And he's cunning. He is. So, and he's had a long time to perfect his craft against people that are at most 100 years old, because most people don't even live that long on this planet. But faith will choose the things of God over the things of the world. Okay? And that being said, it's not always going to be easy, because I don't think it was easy for Moses necessarily from the physical standpoint, the worldly standpoint, Brother Joe, to choose to, I'm going to walk away from every bit of it and just go be a nomad and take care of a bunch of sheep on the backside of a desert. You could say that, but how many here would do that? Good question. Guess what? One of the reasons Moses is in the Hall of Faith is because he done that. He put his faith into action. Amen? And it goes on and it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Now Jericho... How many people know the story about Jericho? How many people love the story of Jericho? Amen. If you're Pentecostal, you've probably been in several worship services, several altar services. Jericho gets brought up. How many people know that Jericho was real? And Jericho's still real, might I add. You had a wall, okay? And the children of Israel had to somehow conquer the city of Jericho. But I find it interesting when we talk about Jericho that it's a highlight story of the Old Testament. But how many people realize that the story of Jericho isn't until the sixth, it's the first one conquered when they go into the promised land, but yet it's all the way in chapter 6 in the book of Joshua. It takes all the way to 6th chapter to bring up Jericho. And I've always thought that was interesting, Terry. Why does it take so long to get to Jericho? Well, God had something to do first. And here's what it was. First, he had to get the man of God in line with the vision of God. So he first pays Joshua a visit. Okay? And one of the first things he tells Joshua, and how many people here were raised with a blunt person in your life, whether it be a parent or a grandparent? Same here. Well, you know what the Lord tells Joshua? The angel of the Lord tells Joshua? My servant Moses is dead. That's kind of how we're starting this thing out here. So in other words, he's not here to help you no more. I've got a big job for you to do, and Moses ain't here no more. How many of you know, whether it's in a work or whether it's a home or a family structure, when an important part of that team piece or important part of that family, when the matriarch or patriarch passes away, or when a boss is promoted and now somebody else comes into line or whatever it is, it feels like, where's the leadership at? Who's going to take over now? Who's going to lead us? So guess what? Everybody else was doing the same thing, and I think Joshua was too. So what's the Lord have to do? He has to let him know, first of all, you're my man. Okay? I'm going to give you a vision, and here's what I want you to do. So before the Lord is going to throw it out there, he has to first bring the leadership in line with his vision. So the first thing he does is he gets Joshua in line. He tells Joshua what he wants. He tells Joshua some things. He comforts Joshua. He gives him a charge. And he lets him know, I'm going to be with you. That's a pretty big piece of information to know. But here's what else he had to do. God had to next get the people of God in line. What do you mean by that, preacher? He had to bring them into covenant. Because hadn't none of them old heathens ever been circumcised? That's the part of Joshua that we don't really bring up a lot. The parents of those that wandered around in the wilderness had become so stiff-necked, they had quit circumcising their children. So guess what? Every single man that was there below the age of 40 was not in covenant with God. The covenant was the sign of the circumcision. Every male child had to be circumcised. So basically, the promise, the seed, would continue to pass through the covenant from one generation to the next. So first of all, Joshua, before he could go to Jericho, before we can start talking about conquering things, we got to get in line with God. Can I tell you something right now? How many people have ever struggled with something for a long, long period of time, but your life was in tatters? Can I tell you something? If you ever want God to deliver you, you better first get in line with God. If I'm going to battle something, if I'm up against something that I know is bigger than I am, first thing I do is I pray and get in God's will. Vicky, the first thing I do, I'll fall on my face and I'll repent. First thing I do, boys, I repent every day. And I'm not saying necessarily, Leanne, that I've sinned every day, but I make sure that I'm covered by the blood. That's the first thing I do every single day. David said, cleanse me with hyssop. In other words, Brother Terry, I fall on my face. Lord, if there's something inside in my heart that don't need to be there, Lord, bring it up. If I've offended anyone in any way, Lord, make it known to me so that I can make it right with them. Why? Because I need to be in line with God before I ever go to Jericho. Because can I tell you something right now? I can't pull the walls of Jericho down. You can't pull the walls of Jericho down. Only God can. So next, he goes on and says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been circled for 7 days. So faith tears down walls. Are you ready for this? You'll never pull down some walls, folks. You're not strong enough. Some walls are meant to be shouted down. And I say that for some folks that's sitting here this morning for a reason. Deliverances and breakthroughs are real. And sometimes it's going to take you doing something maybe that you're not used to doing. Sometimes you're going to have to surrender to God in a way that may be new to you. Maybe you're a young Christian. Maybe you're a shyer person. And it's hard for you to worship with your hands up in an open setting. Look, you can worship God privately, openly, and always. God hears you. God's with you. With a clean heart and a contrite spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But there's sometimes you're going to come to an open place and you got to be willing to shout the walls down. And what I mean by that is if you're struggling, if you're having a particular hard time, you know, sometimes, Z, it don't get fixed like that. Sometimes it takes us walking around Jericho for a while, Brother Joe, praying and being faithful and doing what God told us to do, not realizing, Terry, when the victory is going to come, but knowing because God said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. And guess what? Sometimes it takes a shout. Sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit moving in a situation to tear those walls down. And sometimes you've got to be willing to shout for it, folks. Quit sitting on your hands during worship and start lifting your hands up to God. I'm going to say that again. Quit sitting on your hands in worship and start lifting your hands up to God. I tell you something right now, when we get to heaven, when we get to the new heaven and the new earth, that worship is going to be a continual thing. There are seraphim that are around the throne of God that worship Him 24/7 for eternity. Holy, holy, holy. I've never known anyone that was in love with Jesus that didn't like to worship Him. Think about that. Well, brother, I like to worship. I like to worship in my own way. You notice what you just said, my own way. Get your own way out of the way. I'm not telling you how you have to worship, but you got to have a broken heart. You got to come to Him realizing who is in control here. If you want the walls of Jericho to tear down in your life and your family, sometimes you got to be willing to shout for it, folks. That's just the truth. I didn't even plan on going there. That's for somebody. And it goes on, it says, by faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those that were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't really plan up a lot to talk about Rahab this week. And then kind of at the last minute, I began to dwell on Rahab a little bit, Leanne, and pray about it. And more started just kind of falling. So we're going to kind of park a little bit here with Rahab. Rahab, a prostitute. Wow. A prostitute, a former prostitute, is in the Hall of Faith, Ray. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you very much. Rahab, the prostitute, someone that the world is looking down on. See, in Jericho, she was a prostitute. But when grace entered the picture, she was allowed to be in the lineage of Jesus. When grace enters the picture, you can become something that you have no idea you can be. Okay? What is Rahab? A picture of faith. Faith leads us to grace. Okay? Nobody sitting here today is worthy to be saved. Nobody sitting here today has garments that are white as snow, Tom, on your own. Nobody sitting here today is perfect. Anybody perfect, raise your hand. If you do, I'm going to call an altar call right now. We didn't have a strong conversation. But nobody is perfect. And you ready for this? Here's what we do on this planet, Teresa, in our society. We rank sin. We rank sin. Well, that's a big sin. Well, that's just a little sin. That's just a little white lie. Sin is sin. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Absolutely. But to the world, Rahab was one thing, wasn't she? To the world, Rahab wasn't worth saving. And ready for this? To the spies, she might not even have been worth saving when they first got there. I don't know what was going through their minds. But to God, she was worth saving. Rahab is a perfect example of how grace, through faith, can give you everlasting life. Now she's no longer remembered as a prostitute. Jericho gave her the name of a prostitute. Grace, through faith, put her in the hall of faith. We talk about her fondly now in the Bible, and she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. How many of you also know the story of Leah and Rachel? You know that? How many of you feel sorry for Leah? Come on, women. How many of you felt sorry for Leah? She was the one that got thrown on him and tricked him. Can I tell you something about Leah? I don't know if you ever realized this. Jesus' lineage didn't come through Rachel. It came through Leah. The promise came through that. So even if you felt left out, the covenant was through Leah. Ain't that amazing? You're not forgotten. Rahab was not forgotten. Faith, from that day forward, she left with the spies. And from that day forward, Josh, she walked with the God of Israel as her God. She left that world behind. I'm thankful, Brother Ray, for grace. That no matter what I done years ago, what I may do tomorrow, that when because of Jesus, I can walk away from that and not have it held to my account. How many of you know that Satan is the accuser of the brethren? I don't know if you realize this, but there is a courtroom battle, if you will, that takes place in heaven. She's not worthy to receive that. She blasphemed. He denied your name in front of people. He stole. She lied. But she's mine. He's mine. I have forgiven it. How many people here today realize that in the scripture, there's a couple different situations, but I'm going to bring the story of Moses when he dies, how that Michael and Satan are disputing over the body of Moses. How many of you remember that? And I want you to notice that Michael did not rebuke him. Michael says, "The Lord rebuke you." Michael didn't appeal to his authority. He appealed to the authority that was higher. Can I tell you something? Satan, if he's the accuser of the brethren, he's going to accuse you. But the Lord's blood on Calvary rebuked him. There's the grace that gets you out. That's the trump card, if you will. No pun intended. That's the trump card to every accusation that the devil says and throws against you. That he threw against Rahab, she's covered by the blood. Amen? So in other words, through faith, we get grace. It goes on and says, as we're talking, and what shall I say more? For time shall fail to me, tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Japheth, David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put armies, foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Think about that. You're sitting here today because you have faith that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? How many of you also have faith to realize and recognize that some of our faith that we have has not even been put into play yet? I just read to you just a bit right there about some of the things. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. You're going to be saved through faith. You're going to be delivered through faith. You're going to be healed through faith. You're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit through faith. Faith without works is dead. I know that. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. But can I tell you what else it takes to... What else faith is needed for? Paul began to speak and teach, and it was kind of a new thing, and nobody understood it. Paul said, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left unto the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and are left or remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Can I tell you something right now? It's going to require faith to get you from here to there when Jesus comes back. There's coming a time, whether the world wants to hear it now, whether the world wants to accept it now, the time to pay the piper is going to come. Are you ready to meet Jesus is going to happen. Now listen, he could come back today. He could come back in 10 years. He could come back in 2 months. Nobody knows when he's going to come back. We're ready for this. You could die today and have to meet him. So it pays to be ready. But because you believe that Jesus is Lord through faith, your faith is going to do something within you one day automatically without you even having to try to do anything. So what I mean by that is because of who you are in Christ, you do not have to practice jumping. What do you mean by practice jumping? The rapture, he just comes to the clouds. So Austin, you ain't going to have to sit and practice jumping to get up there. Something, Matt, is going to click in us. All those that have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when Jesus comes back, when that trump sounds, through faith, we're going to be changed and rise up to meet the Lord in the air. Through faith. You understand that? We don't have to practice. We don't have to rehearse it. But we got to be ready. We got to be ready when he comes back. The Bible goes on and says in another place, in the moment, how fast? In the twinkling of an eye. So in other words, it's through faith that we are saved. It's through faith that we are kept. It's through faith that, Brother Terry, we're going to be raptured. Think about that. How many people want to be left here when the rapture takes place? Thank you. I don't want to be here when the rapture takes place, left. But it's through faith that I believe every bit of this. It's by faith that I believe the Word of God. Why do I believe it's true? Because there's someone inside of me that just bears witness that it is. The Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead that was given, Brother Terry, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord, through faith that tells me that this Word is real, Cheryl. And I've seen it too much come to pass, Pat. I have seen with my own eyes that you absolutely do reap what you sow. I have seen with my own eyes how if you'll be still and keep your mouth shut when you're being afflicted and you're being tried, if you'll do those things, if you'll keep quiet, if you'll stand still, God will fight for you. I have seen it. I've witnessed it. Not because I'm something special, but because he is. And one of these days, Josh, I'm going to tell you, I believe with everything in me, whether we're in church or whether we're at work or whether we're having a family vacation or whatever, there's going to be a sound of the trumpet, and every single person whose name is written in heaven is going to be changed in a moment of twinkling of an eye. How? Through faith. That's how important faith is. Faith not only saves me, faith not only keeps me, faith's going to deliver me and take me to heaven. How many people here have lost a loved one via the grave? Died in the Lord. How do you know they're in heaven? I got faith to believe that they're there. The life they lived, the testimony they left. I know that their body is not just going to sit there in that grave and decay. And there's no hope for them. I believe with everything in me, faith, because I got faith in the Word of God and faith in the Word of God, that they're already with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe faith is a powerful thing. And I believe a lot of times we got more faith than we even realize. Can I tell you, most of the time when your faith comes out, when you're pushed into a corner and you got no other way to go, then you'll find out. Faith will rise up when nobody else thinks it can. I promise you, God has a way of showing up when the devil has you at your worst. When the devil has you pinned against the corner, God has a way of showing up. He's powerful. He's good. And can I tell you something else? He's the authority. Because there's one more point of this that I want to bring up, that I need to bring up. It's through faith that we'll be raptured. It's through faith that we'll enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. But it's through faith that after 7 years is up, we've enjoyed just the starting point and the grandeurs of heaven, Vicki. We're going to be given an order. Go mount up. Go mount up. And I'm going to get that order, Terry. And I'm going to go to that old white horse that's being prepared for me from the foundations of the world. You're going to have a horse there with your name on it, Z, you and Tommy. Brother Charlie's going to have one with his name on it.
All of you people that are saved and have your names written in heaven, there's going to be a white horse with your name on it. And at the end of the tribulation period, the Bible said that the Antichrist and the false prophet, they're all going to be gathered around in the Valley of Megiddo, and something's going to happen. A bright light is going to emanate through the sky. So in other words, the Bible says he's going to destroy them with the brightness of his coming. And ready for this? The armies of heaven are going to march out of there following him. The word of God on his vesture was dipped in blood, faithful and true. The one who died on a cross. The one who gave his blood so that we could be standing here this morning. The one who delivered you when you didn't think you could be delivered. That is the one. Through faith, we're going to mount up with him one day. Faith believing that when he says, "Let's go, boys, it's time. I ain't going to hesitate. I'm going to mount up and glory to God by faith. I'm going to do what Jesus says to do." By faith. He's the authority. You have connection to the greatest power on this planet. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. You are not at a disadvantage. You're not at a disadvantage if everybody is against you. If you're the only one in the room, you're the majority. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If you're the only one in your family that's praying, you're the majority. You understand that? It may not seem like it. The devil will try to make you think you ain't. But if you'll stand in faith realizing, you know what? My dad's going to be saved. My mom's going to be saved. My wife's going to be saved. My husband's going to be saved. My children are going to be saved because Jesus said so. Faith. You've got more of it than you think. You do. You just need to tap into it. Draw from it. Realize my faith is not in me. My faith is in him. Don't have faith in your faith. Let me stop here. Because a lot of times we'll say, "I only have more faith, this can happen. I only have more faith, this will happen." Quit putting faith in your faith. Is that not what you're doing? Jesus said to faith, the grain of a... Put your faith in him. And if all I've got's a mustard seed, he said, mountains will be moved. So when you're going through something, get your eyes off of you and your shortcomings and put your eyes on him because he has no shortcomings. It's through faith we are saved. Through grace. Amen. I'm so grateful, Brother Joe, for it this morning. I'm thankful for it. How many people here have experienced grace in their life? How many people here have faith because of your experience with Jesus Christ? How many people believe he's the Son of God? How many people believe that one day you're going to heaven? Come on, let me see your hands. Okay, now when we go to worship this morning, you got a reason to shout. If you don't shout and you want to sit on your hands, shame on you. We have a reason to shout. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He came to this earth and died for us, and we could call him Lord. We could call him friend. The angels desire to look into what we got, Jennifer. Ain't that amazing? They're jealous of what we have. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's amazing. One of these days you're going to judge angels. Do you understand that? That's powerful. How do I know that? I got faith in the Word. That's what the Word says. One of these days you're going to judge angels, folks. Quit putting yourself down. Quit thinking you ain't got enough or you're not good enough. Just a grain of a mustard seed. That's all you need. Faith. Just that much, Brother Ray. Makes all the difference in the world. How many people here are glad for those people that come before you that had faith and they prayed for you? Think about that. And where are you sitting today? Yeah. Amen. Faith moves mountains. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible uses all kinds of great examples throughout Scripture of faith. But you are one as well. You are part of the Bible. As Brother Braden said back, I think Friday evening, we was talking about, said there was, what was it, five Gospels? I like that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the one you're living. That's good. The one you're living. Are you showing Jesus to other people? When trouble comes about, are you handling it in Christ-like ways? Are you walking in faith? Bible says if we walk in, for those that walk in faith, signs will follow them, doesn't it? That's what the Word says. But the key to that is faith. Anybody got any questions or comments? Sorry, getting fired up. It's a little bit hard sometimes. Anybody got a question or comment? Amen. Absolutely. Faith pleases God tremendously. It's amazing. Anybody else with a comment? Anybody else got a question about faith? Okay. That's it. Amen. Everybody has a measure of faith. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well said, sis. Well said. Anybody else? Anybody else? And let me ask you this. How many people know somebody or have known someone in their lives? They might not have had a pot to pee in, as an example. Lived a rough life, male or female, whatever. Christian. Always had it rough. Just like they couldn't catch a break or poor as Job's turkey, whatever it was. You ever know anybody like that? Went on to be with the Lord. Look what they traded for a mansion. Think about that. That little bit of faith that they may have had through those times. And you don't know how many times they may have thought about quitting or giving up, but their faith would not allow them to do that. We've all been there, folks. You ever been there before? Can I tell you something? All it takes is just a little bit of faith to keep you going. And as he said, here's a good thing about the Lord. You don't have to worship the Lord just when you feel like it. He's worthy of it anyway, whether you feel like it or not. Get you out of the way. It's a Sunday. We are gathered together as a body of Christ, a body of believers. It's now time to worship. I didn't come here just to hear preaching or teaching or whatever, or just to see or be seen. I don't think anybody here is for that reason. I came here for the one purpose of worshiping Jesus Christ. That's what I'm here for. Now, while I'm here, Brother Ray, I get to hear the Word. I get to see my brothers and sisters. I get to hear the Word expounded on. I get to grow in those ways. Praise be to God. But you know what got me out of bed, Emily, this morning? Because I want to worship Jesus with every one of you guys. And guess what that means? That means I didn't come through here to sit like this. Missing it. You're missing it. And when I say that, not in a bad way, you're missing a good thing. Just simply lift your hands up and praise Him. Watch, I promise He'll meet you there. He always does. He's worthy to be praised. Look, I joined the choir not because I can sing. Joe stands beside me. He'll amen that. I joined the choir because I felt led to the Lord to join the choir to worship. That's why. So you can come join the choir too if you want to. But you should definitely be worshiping. Every single person, every opportunity we get to gather. And I'm not saying it's the only time you worship. You worship in your car, play music at the house, whatever. Your morning prayers. I'm not saying your evening prayer. That's all good. But this is a day that should be marked on your calendar that I get to worship with my brothers and sisters. corporately. And it matters. Why? Because when the body is gathered together corporately, God has people in there and giftings and things of that nature, and the spiritual gifts can begin to move, and a word can come, a tongue interpretation, a breakthrough. Somebody can lay hands on you, be led of the Lord to lay hands and pray for you. You might have that breakthrough you've been praying for. But you ain't going to do it if you do this. Spirit of God moves, there's a... It's going to sound hard. You better pull your toes back. Spirit of God moves, there's a tongue and there's interpretation about coming to the altar, and ain't nobody moves. Spirit of God ain't wrong. Either lazy or ignorant. Or hard, stiff-headed, something. I'm not saying it was for you, but it was for somebody. God didn't miss it. Somebody here missed it. And why did you let it? Why did it happen? Was it pride? Whatever. Search your heart. God, search me. Search my heart. Listen, if a Holy Spirit moves and there's an interpretation, a tongue comes that way, if there was anything in me, and I'm not saying padded necessarily that I need to repent. Maybe I've been praying for my family member to be saved, and God's saying, come to me now. Then, Vicky, I'm coming. He knows I've been praying about this right now. Let's go, Lord. I'm going to exercise that faith a little bit. It's not about you done anything wrong. It's about God intervening through faith. Anybody got a spoken prayer request before we... I'm going to get cranked up here. I like to pray, so. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Yes, absolutely. Pray for my children who don't know the Lord. Joe. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Someone else? Absolutely. Continue to pray for Ralph and Shirley. Brother Johnny. Pray for Brother Johnny. Pray for Cody and Penny Lester's little baby as well. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God for that. Let's continue to lift Brother Charlie up in prayer. Absolutely. And Wendy and Nellie. Do you have something, sweetie? Absolutely. I got you. Yeah. Sure. Bless your heart. Anyone else? Bib. Hallelujah. This is good. Praise God. Praise God. Faith, it matters. Do you have one, sweetheart? There was a hand went up there. Bless her, Lord. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Bless your heart, sis. Be another prayer request. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Michelle? Absolutely. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Praise God. Good to hear. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for that. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. I love hearing that. Anybody else? Bless your heart, brother. Can you stand to your feet?
Any unspoken prayer requests now between you and the Lord with the uplift of the hand? Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Pat to lead us in prayer.